Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will come in mighty power and touch every life in this church this morning. And we pray that those that need burdens lifted and problems solved and sin forgiven may find all their needs satisfied in him. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The love of Christ and our love for one another. My text this morning is really at verse 34 and 35 of John 13, where Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The command to love was one of John's foremost concerns. He refers to it again and again in his letters as the hallmark of those in whose life the presence of God is being reflected. For example, in 1 John 3:11, John writes, "This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." In verse 23, he says, "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded." And in chapter 4, verse 7 of John, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." And there are many other quotations of love from John in his letters. But why all this language of love? Probably John had seen a church torn viciously by strife, so that he wanted to show them that Christ's love ranks in importance to having faith in Christ. In 1 John 2:11, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness." But it is Jesus speaking directly to his disciples in our text this morning. Jesus is laying down his farewell commandment to his disciples, the commandment that they must love one another as he has loved them. So how did Jesus love his disciples, and what does this mean for us and for our relationships with fellow people? There are at least 3 points. And the first is that Jesus loved his disciples selflessly. Selfless love means to love regardless of your personal needs. You love wholeheartedly without loving yourself, without any personal gain. It is the opposite of selfish love. It means loving without any attachment to an expectation in return. Whatever you do it from the heart. That's the way Jesus loved and still loves us, and that is how he wants us to love one another. But you see, friends, even in the noblest human love, there remains some element of self. We often think, maybe unconsciously, of what we are to get out of the love we want to share. We think of the happiness we will receive or of the loneliness we will suffer if love fails or is denied. So often we are thinking, what will this love do for me? So often we love because we are seeking our happiness. But Jesus Christ never thought of himself. His one desire was to give himself and all he had for those he loved. And the selflessness of your love can be in caring, maybe, for a partner who is unwell, for a neighbor who needs help, for people who are not even related to you, being generous with little you have in order to salvage the needs of destitute people. This is the selflessness of love. Then secondly, Jesus loved his disciples understandingly. He knew his disciples well because he had lived with them. We never really know people until we have lived with them. When we are meeting them only occasionally, we see them at their best. It is when we live with them that we find out their moods and their irritabilities and their weaknesses. So Jesus had lived with his disciples day in, day out for many months and knew all that was to be known about them. And still he loved them. Can we still love people when we have come to know who they really are and probably understand they do not exactly represent what we thought at first of them? Maybe a spouse whose real colors only start showing after the wedding. Or a co-worker who proved to be very kind and hardworking, but the real person is now right before your eyes in a very different way. Or friends at school who exhibit strange and different temperaments with which you need to cope. Or someone in the community or elsewhere you esteemed so highly, and now you know what you shouldn't have known, and that makes you wonder whether you shouldn't be redefining your love for them. Knowing the true nature of people and still loving them for who they are makes sense indeed for Jesus and for a better world. Sometimes we say love is blind. That is not completely true, because the love that is blind often ends in bleak and utter disillusionment. But real love sees and yet continues to love. It loves not what it imagines a person to be, but what the one is. The heart of Jesus was and is still big enough to love us as we are, helpless sinners though we may be. Understanding love. And then thirdly, Jesus loved his disciples forgivingly. Their leader, Peter, was to deny him. They were all to forsake him in his hour of need. They never, in the days of his flesh, really understood him. They were blind and insensitive, slow to learn, and lacking in understanding. In the end, they were contemptibly lacking in courage. They were cowards. But Jesus Christ held nothing against them. There was no failure which he could not forgive. The love which has not learned to forgive, the love which has not learned to forgive can do anything else but shrivel and die. We are poor creatures, and there is a kind of fate in things which makes us hurt most of all those who love us best. For that very reason, all enduring love must be built on forgiveness. For without forgiveness, it is bound to die. My dear friend, do you have a forgiving heart? Somebody listening to me this morning. These verses from Scripture teach us that Jesus' love for us is the standard and source of our own love. Selfless love, understanding love, and forgiving love. And what Jesus asks us to do is what the Father had asked him to do. The Father gives commands to the Son, and the Son, Jesus Christ, gives commands to his followers. As for Jesus, this is not a suggestion any more than the Father's words to him were suggestion. But you see again, the problem with this command is that it may be impossible to order someone to love. You cannot give orders simply for people to love. As the psychologist John Sanford aptly commented, the difficulty from a psychological point of view with this command is that love cannot be willed. The person who tries to love by an act of will is likely to wind up with a persona that looks like he or she is loving, but with a shadow side hidden in the unconscious that negates it. Love must come from the heart if it is to be genuine. It cannot be feigned, not even with the best of intentions. And Sanford goes on to describe the many complex ways that love can become an artificial manipulative response that disguises deeper levels of rivalry, brokenness, and anger. So our love must be sincere. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in what ways can we say our love for one another reflects Christ's love for his church as he commanded us to make? Can we say our love for one another is selfless? That is, we love without expecting anything in return, including people's love for us. Maybe it's your spouse, your friends, with whom you go for coffee and tea or swimming or cinemas, etc. Do we love selflessly? Secondly, is our love understanding love, that despite the fact we now know things about people we did not know before, we still love them for who they are and not for what they are or have been in our thinking. And finally, is our love forgiving love. It is good to forgive, because without forgiveness and love, you will live with resentment, bitterness, malice, and strife, which result in more pain. Forgiveness is the best form of love. It takes a strong person to say sorry, and an even stronger person to forgive. But you know, again, many people prefer to love themselves first before they can ever love anybody. I'm sure you've heard of this humanistic truism that you have to love yourself before you can love others. Yes, in a sense, it is true. But it is at best the love yourself mantra of pop psychology. It is not what Jesus Christ teaches. What Jesus teaches is that the extent of his love for us, laying down his life for us, is to be the standard by which our love is measured. And that is a high standard indeed. Our love is a result of his love. We love because he loved us first. And the command to love has its first application within the church. When a known Christian or a visitor steps foot inside the church, this should be his or her first observation. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In the 3rd century, Tertullian wrote, "It is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See," they say, "how they love one another. See how they are ready even to die for one another." And in the early church, the social caring and commitment of Christians to one another was a profound testimony in a Roman world with its sharp social divisions. Dear friends, nothing so astonishes a fractured world as a community in which radical, faithful, genuine love is shared amongst its members. There are many places you can go to find communities of shared interests. There are many places you can go to find people just like yourself, who live for sports or music or gardening or politics. But it is the mandate of the church to become a community of love, a circle of Christ followers who invest in one another because Christ has invested in them, who exhibit love not based on the mutuality and attractiveness of its members, but on the model of Christ who washed the feet of everyone, including Judas, whom he knew would betray him. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And may this be so in our lives, in our congregation, and in our community. Let us pray. Faithful God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who brought love to mankind and enables us to love one another. Help us, dear Father, to recognize one another and to love ourselves as you have loved us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen.